Praise God. Welcome to Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Pastor Mike here. Why don't you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, we thank you for this time that we're about to have with you, O Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, that Holy Spirit will minister to every single listener that is out there today, O Lord. Heavenly Father, you know the needs, you know the desires, you know what's going on in the lives of everyone listening, O Lord. So I pray that you'll speak to them in your own special way, O Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, and magnify thy name. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen. Praise God again. Welcome to Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Glad you could join us right here. Why don't you go and get your Bible, get a pencil, a pen, a marker, a piece of paper maybe to take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you as you listen and take notes. Because, again, I always say you'd be surprised how these notes that you take could come back to help you later on in life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to tell you a little story. You ever hear about the guy... who bought a farmhouse, a ranch type thing, and he had a well on the property, you know, one of those old-fashioned wells that had a bucket and a crank, you know, it goes down into a deep hole and so forth like that. And the bucket had sprung a leak and everything, and so he wanted to get the bucket out of the well to replace it. And so he pulled up the bucket and untied the bucket from the rope that was on it and put the bucket aside, and the rope fell back down into the well. You know, and so, oh, drat, you know, so now he's reaching, trying to get the rope so he could pull the rope back up. And in reaching for the rope, he fell in. He fell into the well. He managed to grab the rope as he was falling. And he couldn't hold on too tightly, and he was slipping and slipping and slipping and going deeper and deeper into the well. And as his hand, and he was crying out for help, and so forth. And then he said, gee, as no one is here to hear my cries. And so he decided, let me cry out to the Lord. I would have done that from the beginning. So he cries out to the Lord, oh, Lord, help me, help me. And his hands are slipping further down. He cries out, God, please help me, please help me. And he continues to slip. And at this point now, he knew that he was getting near the bottom because he could hear the water down below. You know, he knew that it was getting closer. He was getting closer. And as he continued to slide down, he cried out, help me, help me. And then he heard a voice that said, let go. And he looked around, and he's still slipping, and he says, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And he heard again the voice that said, let go. And finally now he knew, oh, okay, this is it for me. I can hear the water. I can feel the dampness of it around my feet here. And the voice said again, let go. And he finally let go, and he dropped and hit the bottom of the well, and the water was about 4 inches deep. That's all. The water was just about 4 inches deep, just barely covering his ankles. So all that time that he was falling and he heard that voice say, let go, it wasn't until he finally let go that he realized that he was okay, that he was safe. And so it is with many things about us in our lives. Many times God tells us to simply let go and let God. How do we let go or surrender to God in all things? That's what I want to talk about today. How do we let go? It is so hard for us human beings sometimes to simply just trust God and to let go. But how do we surrender to God in all things? Surrender to God the good things and the bad things, the difficult things and the easy things. Is surrendering the concept of surrendering in the Bible? Well, yes, it is. Letting go or surrendering is defined as to cease resistance and submit. Letting go is defined as ceasing to resist and simply to submit. The guy in the rope was resisting. He was trying his best on his own to get out of the well. God said, simply let go. And that's what we need to learn to do. Surrender is all throughout Scripture. We see Abraham step out in faith to surrender his son, just as God surrendered Jesus Christ for us. It is clear in Scripture that we are to surrender and submit to God. Just simply let go. And what does it mean to surrender our lives to God? Exactly what is that meaning? The very first step in surrendering to God is giving God our heart and salvation. That's where it begins, in surrendering God, giving God our heart and salvation. And with that, let's go to Romans 10:4. And I'm reading from the NIV here, okay? Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Underline that, please, in your Bible. It is near you. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, underline this whole scripture, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that's the key. Declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? So that's the first step of us surrendering to God, of submitting. And it says in verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So that's the beginning of us surrendering to God right there, is calling on Jesus Christ and confessing in your heart and believe. This is where our salvation comes from. And I suggest to you that if you haven't done so already, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you really, 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 especially in these times that we're living in, consider that you need the Lord in your heart, in your life. You need to let go. You need to let God come into your life. It may not sound like much, but to truly believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and to confess that with your mouth is a great act of surrender. That's one of the greatest acts of surrendering you could do. And it's an act of surrender that will indeed literally save your life going into eternity. And it will also pave the way for you to be open to receiving more from God, more from God, more from God in learning how to surrender. But it starts with that salvation. Most people think of surrendering, you know, as being held captive to something or someone. You know, when you say surrender to you, is I'm raising my hands, that means I'm just submitting and giving up. Okay. But surrendering to God actually brings us freedom. All right. Unlike the concept of, again, surrendering and being held captive, being put in prison. You know, you think of surrender, you think of an army or anything else where this conflict going and you're raising your hands in surrender or raising a white flag. You're surrendering and now you're going to be taken into captivity. When you surrender to God, however, it's entirely different because it brings us freedom. It brings us freedom. Let's go to Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay. All right. So when you surrender to God, it's giving you freedom. Okay. It's setting you free from that yoke of slavery. Now, we all know that most of us are not in slavery, literally with chains on our arms and ankles and everything. But when we are in slavery, that could be you're in bondage to anything that is negative, slavery and in bondage to sin in your life, slavery and bondage to maybe someone that is giving you a hard time and you just can't seem to be set free from them. So being set free in Jesus Christ is indeed making you free. Okay, you've been set free from that. In surrendering our lives and hearts to Jesus, we gain freedom from sin, freedom from fear, and so much more. So what does it mean to surrender our will to God? What does it mean to surrender our will and to just completely give in to him? We all have things we want and things that we believe and things that we need. These things may even be good things. And yet, so to truly surrender to God our will, we must commit all in our ways to him. We must commit all our ways to him. God can work in ways that we don't quite understand. He can direct us and guide us in ways that we simply don't expect. So how do we surrender our wills? Let's go to Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Let me read this again. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Okay? Commit to the Lord all that you do, and he will establish your plans. So in other words, verse number 2 is saying everything that we do, all of the ways that we, you know, the way we conduct our life, the things that we do, to us they seem like a good thing. All our ways seem pure to them, okay? Everything that we do, seem to us, it seems like it's a good thing, it's a good plan. But the motives, the motivation that you have for doing whatever you're doing in your life is weighed by the Lord. It's considered by the Lord. Okay. So we may think that the way we're living our life, the things that we're planning to do, the way we go about praying or not praying, the way we go about loving someone or not loving someone, the way we go about doing our job may seem good to us, but God looks at the motivations of our heart and he weighs them and he weighs them. Okay. So therefore it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and he will establish your plans. So before you go doing something in life, before you start making decisions, before you start rendering judgment on people or things or processes or something you're about to do, you know, give it to the Lord first, and then God will establish a plan. He will tell you the right thing that you should or should not do. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him that he shall bring it to pass. So that means whatever it is that you are about to do, give it to God. Give it to God. Now, there is someone out there right now that has some major decisions before them. And you know what they are. Some major decisions. You've been praying about it and so forth. But you better give it all to God before you go deciding what to do. Because you need to just commit it all to him. Because then, as it says, he shall bring it to pass. And commit means to just give it to. Give it to. Some of you who have been coming to this hear these messages for a while, have heard me say before, committing something to God is like if you commit someone to the hospital, you have someone that you are caring for and you just do not have the ability to care for them any longer. You don't know, you don't have the medical expertise, you don't have the psychiatric expertise, and so therefore you turn them over to someone who does. You turn them over to the doctors, to an institution, to a hospital, whatever it may be. That is committing them, and you've heard the term, the expression, I had to commit my great aunt because of the fact she had gotten to the point where I could no longer care for her. I don't have the wherewithal or the training, the background. So you commit them to the doctor, you commit them to the institution. That means that you're giving it up because you don't have the ability to do it. When you get to the point in your life that you realize that you do not have the ability to do something, to make decisions on something, then you finally get to the point, hopefully get to the point, you say, Lord, I commit this to you. In other words, I give it to you because I know that you are indeed all capable. You're all capable. If we go to Proverbs 3:5, Proverbs 3:5, and it says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. King James says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. But in verse five, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means with all of your being, you simply just trust God and don't lean on your own understanding. When you give something to God and you truly surrender to God, you simply trust him to carry out the action. And you don't lean on your own understanding. You don't try to figure it out for yourself. You don't know how God is going to do it. You don't know what God is going to do. But you're simply saying, God, I surrender to you. Take it, Lord. You take it wherever you will. And I'm not going to try to reason or understand whatever it is that you're trying to do because I don't have the ability to understand. We don't have the ability to understand what God does, when he does it, or why he does it. We don't have that ability. You know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways and thoughts are so above ours, you know, that we can't ever begin to understand why he does things. So simply says to trust him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, King James says. In all your ways, submit to him, in the NIV. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. King James says, and he will direct your paths. So in other words, then, if you're just saying, Lord, I give it to you, I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to understand what you're doing. I just know that whatever you're doing, that you're going to make my path straight. You will help me to go where you want me to go. It's as simple as that. And acknowledge, as the King James says, acknowledge him is also translated him as to know him. Okay, in all your ways, to know him in all your ways, to know God in each of your steps and ways is a powerful illustration of a strong relationship. And that's what you want with the Lord. You want a strong relationship. Okay, so we have to get to know God in everything that we do, you know, and that means simply turning it over to him and submitting it to him, surrendering to him. Surrendering your relationship with another person to God is also, it's another sign of letting go to God. You know, letting go, just letting go. Someone that you are worried about or concerned about can be released to God for their benefit and for your benefit. If you have a family member that you're praying about, you're praying for, you're worried about, you know, and things that they're doing, maybe, you know, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a father or mother, you know, another relative, someone at work, whatever it is, you know, someone that you are, that you have a strong relationship with, instead of you worrying about them so much, give them to God. Give them to God. Give that person that you're praying about coming to the Lord, coming to know Jesus, starting to go to church with you, give it to God, because then that'll benefit them, but it'll also benefit you because it's taking the burden off of you. Okay? How many people have I known? And I'm sure you know a lot of people too. It may be you that's listening to this message. You're worried about someone that's in your life. Give it to God, okay? Because give it to God. God can manage it. The Holy Spirit will manage that person, will continue to call that person, but you just release it to God, because then that will benefit you. It'll take the burden of worry off of you, okay? If you could have done something, you would have done it already with that person, all right? The reason that you came to Jesus Christ, if you are a believer and you came to Jesus Christ as you invited Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior, if you're a believer, you know that Holy Spirit, or you should know that Holy Spirit was calling you for some time. Maybe you didn't realize it. But when you finally gave in, your life got to a point you realized that you needed the Lord and you gave yourself to God. You surrendered. Well, the Holy Spirit is calling on that person that you're worried about right now, too. It is not God's will, the Bible says, for anyone to perish. He does not want that loved one of yours to perish. Okay, perish means that to lose salvation and to wind up spending eternity, you know, in a place other than heaven, all right, with him. God does not desire that for everyone. So that means God, anyone. So God does not desire it for your loved one. So simply surrender that person to God, okay? It'll benefit that person and benefit you, you know. Letting go of possessions. Sometimes we hold on to things that are so dear to us. Letting go of possessions is also a sign of submission to God. Do we hold on too tightly to things or things that we have? You know, there may be something in your house that you just love so dearly. You just, you know, and you feel like you need to just let it go. Maybe you have something that you just don't have space for, you don't have room for. Maybe your garage is overflowing with stuff, you know, and that stuff is almost becoming your idol because you're just holding on so tightly to it. Ever think of letting some of that stuff go, just surrendering it to God? Did you ever feel sometimes that you absolutely have to buy something, there's something that you need? Something that you're looking at and you really, really want that thing. You're almost lusting after it, you know. Give that to God also. Say, Lord, here, take this. Why do I want this so badly? Just release that to God. Whether it's clothing, ladies in your shoes, toys for my kids, you know, decorations in your house, gadgets or car accessories. I can say that for gadgets because I love newfangled things. I have so many tablets and this and that and so forth, you know. But sometimes you just feel like, oh, I gotta have this. Maybe give it to God and ask the Lord, should I buy it? Do I need it? What's my use for it? You know, you see, this is where it's talking about when the word says surrendering to God, you know, commit all your ways to him. You know, ways is how we live our lives. Okay, be it food. You love to look for a good restaurant. You know, get into the habit of surrendering that to God. Maybe there's a restaurant that you want to go to. Mother's Day is coming up. Maybe there's a restaurant you're thinking about going to with the ladies in your home. You know, your wife, your mom, your daughter-in-law. Maybe the family gets together for all the ladies for Mother's Day, and you're thinking about a restaurant to go to or whatever. Pray about that. Why don't you commit that to God for a change? It's committing all of your ways. It's everything that we do in our lives, committing it to God. We must learn sometimes to let go, you know, to let go on buying something. And to be satisfied with what we have, you know. Many times we want something and we really don't need it, you know. That's another thing with American society. We oftentimes want things, but we really don't need it. And as a result of that, we wind up being discontented. The word of God speaks on that too. Let's go to Philippians 4:11. It says, I am not saying this because I am, this is Paul talking, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. King James says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. You see, so what he's saying is very, very powerful. Verse 11 again, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Are you at a point in your life that you can be content regardless of what is going on in your life? Okay. Regardless of how the guy next door seems to be always, you know, getting this, a new car. Now he's building a pool in his backyard. I wish I could do this. Are you content with what God has blessed you with? Verse number 12 again says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. You've all had ups and downs in life, you know, where you have needs, where you had plenty, where you may have had some needs. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Underline that, please. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Okay? So we need to learn in our lives to be content, with what you have. God has blessed you. You know, one thing I say so many times, especially to young people who are just starting out in life, my wife and I always took pictures of our first apartment together. And as a matter of fact, it was a studio apartment. we took pictures at Christmas time, you know, what the decorations were. We were so happy, you know. And as the Lord blessed us, you know, and gave us more and blessed us more, and that studio turned into a larger apartment and then a house and so on like that. And every single step of the way, you look back on those pictures and you reflect on where God has brought you from, okay? That's why I encourage young people starting out. Take photographs. Take photographs of where you're living now. Take photographs of your first car. You know, my first car, oh boy, you know, my first car. And look how God has blessed you, you know. And each step of the way, when you stop and think about it, you weren't greatly discontented during those times, you know, okay? You know, I know at one time we had nothing but, I tell my grandkids, we had black and white TVs, no such thing as a color TV. They look at me like I was born in the Stone Age. Okay, I look at back at the time, one time we had no air conditioning in the home, okay? And we lived on the East Coast where it was really, really hot and humid. But no one complained, because we were blessed with what we had. So Paul says to be content, whether you have or whether you have not. This is where we need to get to today, okay? And submitting to God will get you that to that point. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So wherever you are, submit to the Lord and know that God, Jesus Christ, he will give you the strength to get through whatever that situation is that you're going through. But you got to submit and surrender to him. Whether we have all we need or are in need, we are called to be content, according to the word of God. And if we trust that God will meet all our needs, then we can truly surrender all things to God. We can also pray for God to grow this trust in us and open our eyes to see the ways that he is indeed providing. Pray about it. Lord, help me to grow this trust. Help me to see. Open my eyes that I may see how you are indeed providing in our lives. You know, you'd be surprised so many times you are getting things and you're being blessed and we don't even stop and think about it sometimes. Okay. God is providing in so many ways, God is just protecting us, you know. And I'll just share, it's a little bit off topic, but just to give you a sense of awe and how God protects us and provides for us. You know, I love NASA and astrophysics and things like that. And I subscribe to NASA and the Hubble Space Telescope. And I get these, you know, emails when you're going to have asteroid sightings and stuff like that, the Pleiades and all of that sort of thing. So I love that kind of thing. Anyway, I was reading a report that was talking about sun flares increasing over the last few years and so forth. And they had some striking videos of close-ups of the sun with those flares. And some of those flares, you see these huge spirals, they call them filaments of hot fire, what it looks like, hot fire shooting off the surface of the sun that extend thousands of miles, they say. All of that going on, God protects us on this tiny planet. We are placed just the right distance away from the sun that in spite of those solar flares, we are protected. And just looking at that, I remember thinking at the time that I was looking at, you know, I felt, you know, the Holy Spirit just go through me and just showing me how indeed God protects all of us on this planet. That's a powerful thing. That sun is a powerful thing. But God has us placed on this planet just the right distance away to keep us safe. All right. Well, God is so interested in this planet, but he's also personally interested in you. He wants to keep you safe from the flares of life, if you will, He wants to protect you. But you can only do that if you submit to him, if you surrender to him. That's the only way that it can happen. You know, and there are plenty of examples of that in the Bible there of people submitting and surrendering to God. Starting with good old Abraham. Abraham stepped out in faith to surrender his one and only son. You know, now you know the story of Isaac there when he went to sacrifice, and that's a very, very powerful story. Abraham is asked to sacrifice, literally sacrifice, his one and only son, born to him in his old age. After all of the time of waiting for Isaac to come along, and then he's finally born, and then God takes him, tells him to go up on that mountain and to sacrifice him. And what did he do? Abraham went through every single one of the steps, and he had raised the knife up, getting ready to stab him with the knife, and he heard the angel say to him, and I'm quoting from Genesis 22:12 here, he said, "Don't lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Okay, you see, so here he was, as much as he loved Isaac, he waited so long for him, he was willing to sacrifice him as God had told him to do. So he surrendered to God. He surrendered to him. We know that before Isaac was born in Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham to get thee out of the land and go out of the country of your kindred, of your family, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Abraham didn't question, how far do I have to go? How do I know what this land looks like? Who lives there? And so on. Abraham simply picked up and went. Simple as that. Abraham simply picked up and went. Okay, so that's surrendering to God. No matter what he tells us to do, we have to get to the point of surrendering. Can you picture any greater letting go or surrendering than Abraham willing to sacrifice his only son? Abraham was fully surrendered to the Lord in being willing to obey God, even to sacrifice his own son. Jesus surrendered to God. Okay? Jesus surrendered. The word of God says that he was always with God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was with God from the very beginning, and it's hard to say where the beginning was because they lived in eternity. So he just always was with God. He always was with God. And Jesus lived a life of total surrender to God the Father. All that he did was what God directed him to do. John 5:30 says, "I can do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I don't seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." All right. So Jesus Christ was surrendering to the will of God. He surrendered to God even in the things that he did not want to face. He asked God to take away the trial that he was about to face going to the cross. And yet in this, he was committed to the Lord's will above all. So with that, let's go to Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, Matthew 26, verse 36, 26, 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Okay? This was the same night that he was arrested. Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew what was about to come. He knew he was about to go to the cross. He knew that he was about to take on the sins of mankind. Jesus knew and realized that at that point that he took on the sins of mankind, that God, his Father, that he had been with always, 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 was going to turn his back on him. And as he cried out, "Father, Father, why do you forsake me?" Jesus knew that all of this was coming. He did not really want to go there. But what did he say there in verse 39? He says he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So in other words, if there's any way else to do this, Father, if there's any way else, please let it be done some other way. However, Father, not what I want to do, what you want to do. Okay. So you see here, even Jesus surrendered. Jesus surrendered to God the Father. He surrendered his life to the Lord, and he did this for you and for me, by the way. You know, he committed his very spirit to God as his body died on that cross. This is the ultimate act of surrender. Luke 23:46 says, "Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" There's that word again, commit. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Okay. You see, so even Jesus had a thing with surrendering to God. So if Jesus could do it, if Abraham could do it, how important is it for us to be able to simply let go and surrender to God? And it is because of his ultimate surrender that you and I can come to the Lord and find his peace, his joy, his redemption right where we are. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because of what he did, we now have the ability to also to surrender and to commit our way to God, because God has promised to take care of us. So how do we let go and let God again? We are called to cast all of our cares on the Lord, but to truly give it to God and to let it go takes persistence and practice and commitment. You got to practice letting go, because right away when something happens in your life, it's natural human instinct to try to fix it and figure out a way to do it ourselves. It's natural for us to do that. But again, that's natural. It is not spiritual. And that's the thing we always wrestle with here, being still on this earth in these bodies, okay? Things that we respond to do, it's a way of nature, so to speak. We have to retrain that by doing what the word of God would tell us to do. So therefore, it's a spiritual adjustment. It's a spiritual adjustment, how we approach the things in our lives, not the way we used to. You're a born-again believer. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You have Holy Spirit in you, according to the word of God. You have Holy Spirit in you. So we have to get away from doing things the natural way. We have to do things the spiritual way. God says to surrender and commit it to him. Even if you don't understand it, you don't realize where it's going, okay? We're called to cast all of our cares on the Lord. But to truly give it to God, it takes practice and persistence and commitment. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your worries on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares and worries on him, because he cares for you. As you learn and grow, trusting that God is sovereign, and working in each and every moment and season of your life, you can begin to let go of the things that you hold so tightly onto, right? You realize that? Once you learn and begin to grow, trusting that God is sovereign and that he's working and moving in every single moment and season of your life. When I say every single moment and season of your life, that means every single time, every single period of your life, so to speak, you know? We all have seasons in our lives. The same way there are 4 physical seasons, summer, fall, winter, spring, we also have spiritual seasons in our lives. And seasons in our lives are defined periods of time where things happen in our lives. We all have defined periods, seasons of time in our lives. And those are defined by periods of time. They're defined by periods of time where things in our life changes, you know? We have a season of growth. It may be a season where a time you're going through some tribulation. It may be a season where you're going through a wilderness, like I talked about last week. These are seasons in our lives. There are times when we're going through certain things. If you have God, God is there in each one of those seasons. That's what I'm saying to you. And for you to realize that, you have to grow and understand, grow spiritually, and understand that God is in every single season of your life. And you have to trust him and submit yourself through each one of those seasons. Okay? Seasons of plenty, seasons of not so plenty. Seasons of grief, seasons of joy. Okay, whatever it may be, God is there. He's with you. But we have to learn to trust, and that takes practice and commitment. It takes practice and commitment where you saying that I am going to be strong and I'm going to remember that God is indeed with me. So, Lord, I give it all to you. I commit it to you. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to carry the burden for it. Lord, I will listen to you, and you tell me whatever it is that you want me to do. And I'm not going to try to figure out the whys or the hows. What do you want me to do, Lord? Okay? Because he's there through every single thing. And like I said, you have to learn and grow trusting that God is sovereign and that he's working in each and every season of your life. We have to pray for God to help you in this. There is freedom and peace in this sort of surrender. It doesn't always come easy. You may need to pray to the Lord. Lord, help me to surrender. Help me to trust. Help me to grow. Help me to know. Help me to have supernatural faith and just trusting and growing in you, Lord. Okay. Lord, I want to surrender always. So help me be able to commit everything that I have to you. I need to make sure we're out there finding scriptures that remind us of his sovereignty and goodness. And remind yourself of the ways in which he has been active in your life. Stop and think back on those times. All of us have a life story. All of us have a life story. Okay? And you can go back, you know, and look how God has blessed you. Look how you went through certain trials and tribulations. Look how you had turmoil in your life. And look how God brought you through. Look at the time before you came to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying when you go back into the past, because God doesn't want us dwelling on the past, but you can think back and make a momentary stop in your memory there and say, well, gee, this is where I came from. Look at where I am now, and look how God brought me each step of the way. I always say that sometimes you've got some major promised land that you're praying about, and you're just waiting to get there, and then just stop and think back how God brought you through and delivered you before out of a bad situation. You have to always be reminded that God is indeed there. He's there. He's always been there. Okay. So what does it practically look like to surrender to God? And here are some things that you can do to get to that place of surrender. Start with prayer. Pray for a heart of surrender. Pray to actually surrender. In prayer, God will bless this act of faith. And in time, you will begin to feel surrendered. Then you feel surrendered. Worship is powerful. Spend some time in worship. Worship is very powerful, whether you worship through music or in some other way. Spend time in awe of the power of the Lord and the way in which he works. All right? Worshiping through music. Sometimes some people can worship when they're on a nature walk. Like I said, I really was a time of worship, if you will, when I saw those videos of the sun with the solar flares and things going on. Worship God and look at the beauty of the world that's around you. Worship God in song, worship in music, worship him in church when you're singing those praise during praise and worship time. Don't let your mind be drifting off someplace else when everyone in the congregation is singing praise and worship music. You take that time to truly worship God from your heart. Don't let your mind be drifting. Scripture, of course, is a way. The word of God is our weapon against the enemy. It has the power to extinguish the attacks of Satan as we use it in faith. Find Bible verses about surrender. There are plenty of them, and write them down. Find verses that encourage you in your current season, in your current situation, and proclaim what those Bible verses are saying. Memorize them and saturate and fill your life with those verses so that when you're in a time of adversity, maybe what you're going through right now, find some scriptures that deal with surrendering and committing your life to God. Okay? Write a journal. You've heard me mention this before. Write a journal. Your brain changes as you write. Did you know that? As you're putting things down, your brain changes as you write. Your thoughts change as you articulate in words what it is that's going through your mind. So journal those things. Start journaling. There is power in journaling and writing down your thoughts, writing down your fears, writing down what is holding you back, and writing down your commitment to surrendering to God. It can help you to document the things that are holding you back. It really helps. And it can help you to more fully commit to surrender. Speak letting go over and over. Repeat it to yourself, letting go. Our words have power. And there's many scriptures on the power of the tongue. Our words have power, especially if we speak scripture. Proclaim your surrender out loud every day. Every single day, Lord, I surrender this to you. You're getting up in the morning, you're shaving, you're brushing your teeth or whatever you're doing. While you're in the shower, proclaim, Lord, I surrender this day to you. I commit this day to you. I have this meeting at 9 o'clock that I'm getting dressed for. Lord, I surrender that meeting to you. I have to meet with my boss at 12. Lord, I surrender that meeting with my boss. Whatever it is that is on your mind, just surrender. Surrender your entire day. Lord, I am like your captain here, and I'm before you. You are the general of my army, if you will. Lord, I commit this day to you. Give me your instructions. What are your marching orders for me today? Get in the habit of giving the day and surrendering the day to him. This will wind up retraining your heart from one of holding on too tightly to things and from one to surrender. Like I said, it takes practice and it takes commitment. Okay. And it takes perseverance. Because sometimes when you think that you've surrendered something, maybe things right away instantaneously may not change for you. That does not mean that God is not working for you. Does not mean that God is not on the case just because you don't see instantaneous gratification. That's not how it works. You have to be persistent in just simply trusting God, letting go, surrendering, and committing it to him. Amen. Try it. I'm telling you, it works. Praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. And if it was, why don't you tell others how to find our website here. We can be reached at www.genesis1.sermon.net. That's www.genesis1.sermon.net. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see a subscribe button. Click on that subscribe button, and you'll be notified when these messages are available. We also have apps on the Google and Play stores for Android and Apple devices. We're also on YouTube, Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Just do a search for the name. Everything here is free of charge. We don't charge for anything. We simply want to get the word of God out. We simply want to speak to you, our listeners, and let you know that the Lord God loves you and that there's no reason for you to be struggling because God is here. So all of this is free of charge. And also, if you're in the Salem, Oregon area, by all means, stop by to visit us. We hold live worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. And we meet at 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, 2651 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem, Oregon. And that's in the Candelaria Terrace section of Salem there. Come on by and join us. We pray for the sick. We pray for you. We pray with you. Join us and sing some wonderful praise and worship music, and let's fellowship one with the other. These messages were started out years ago to supplement church going, to supplement people if you happen to be sick from church one day and you couldn't make it. They were aimed at supplementing. We've been on the air for years. But the main thing is that you need to get to a church. If it's not Genesis 1, get plugged into some church, because nothing replaces you being together with other believers. The word of God says, forsake not the gathering together of yourselves. So we encourage you, if you're in the area, come on by and join us. Like I said, we pray for the sick. We pray for those as Holy Spirit so guides. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God again. I hope this message was a blessing to you. And why don't you stay here and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had with you, O Lord God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we remember these words we've heard today and keep them deeply planted within our spirits, O Lord God. Help us to get to a point, O Lord God, that in all things in life, we will surrender to you. We will commit our ways to you, commit our lives to you, Lord God. We'll get in the habit, O Lord God, of just coming to you for help. And when we run into those things that we cannot handle, that we will just simply surrender and give it up. Lift our hands and commit it to you, O Lord God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God again. Go forth and be blessed. And remember always that Jesus is Lord.